Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I once had the very good fortune of spending part of my sabbatical at a Roman Catholic retreat house in North Wales. It had once been a Jesuit seminary where the priest and poet Gerard Manley Hopkins had trained for ordination. And the house is very proud of that connection, and in the basement is an exhibition to his life and his poetry. Now I freely admit that most of his poems are quite beyond me. But there are a few snippets that I can treasure. Each of my days there was spent largely in silence, attempting to be close to God. But once a day I would have a discussion with a retreat director, a Jesuit priest. And one day the conversation turned towards the Blessed Virgin Mary. This was provoked by various pieces of iconography which I saw around the house and by the daily prayers to Mary in the chapel. These had certainly not been features of my own rather evangelical formation, to say the least. Well, the director told me that he had no time at all for the worship of Mary, which some quarters of the Roman Catholic Church might possibly be accused of. But he felt that we Protestants had lost a lot in not taking Mary more seriously. And that gave me food for thought at the time, and also now as I've prepared for this sermon. "Do not be afraid, Mary," Gabriel says to her, then explains that the son she will bear will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High and will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. That's the promise that God made to King David through the prophet Nathan. "Well, how can this be," says Mary, "since I am a virgin?" And Gabriel's answer is, and I rather paraphrase here, "How can this be? Well, because God is God. That's how. This is his word. This is his promise to you. And you can believe it. For nothing is impossible with God." And what's Mary's response? "You must be kidding. Get away with you." No, no, not at all. And this is the heart of my sermon. She actually says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Or may your word to me be fulfilled." And she hurries off to greet her cousin, whom Gabriel says is with child too, even in her old age. And if we had read on a few verses, we would have come to Mary's song, the Magnificat, where she praises God. She praises God for what he has done, even though the actual experience of it still lies in the future. God has made a promise to Mary. She believes it. That's enough for her. And she acts on it. I think everybody would agree, including evangelicals, that that's what faith really looks like. Mary hears, receives, believes, and submits to the word that God gives her. And Christ is conceived in her. Her faith does not wait for experiences, does not depend upon feelings. I think that should be enough to make her the patron saint of evangelical Christianity, and indeed the model for all Christians or would-be Christians. She hears, receives, believes, and responds with joy to the call of God for his son to be conceived in her. Now, of course, that is a unique, never-to-be-repeated calling. But the New Testament makes it clear that we too are called to allow Christ's life, Christ's character, to be conceived in us, to welcome him fully into our hearts, to have the mind of Christ, and so live joyfully as servants of the Lord Jesus. When Paul writes to the church in Colossae to tell them of the Christian hope that we have, he puts it in these words: Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when he writes to the Galatians in a rather angry tone, he says this: My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. The Greek there is morpho. So what Paul is saying in effect is, I'm in pains until you've been morphed, until metamorphosis has taken place and Christ's life is rooted in you. Mary was the one and only Mother of God, but we too are called to be bearers of Christ in our own lives. And I'm afraid that the gestation period is a little bit longer than 9 months. And it will have complications along the way, because change within ourselves is always painful and slow. But it will start, or it has started, when we can say with Mary, Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. May we welcome Christ with joy this Christmas and carry his life into the darkness of the world around us. Now, I said that there are a few snatches of the poems of Gerard Manley Hopkins which I really value. And here are 3 lines. They come from his poem, As Kingfishers Catch Fire. For Christ is in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes not his, to the Father through the features of men's faces. Christ does indeed play in tens of thousands of places, in the limbs and the eyes and the faces of those who bear his name and are being morphed, however slowly, into the likeness of Christ. This is the Christian hope. This is our collective calling. May it be with us according to God's word. Amen.